Today on Annenberg Radio News.
And my son was murdered at Dorsey High School in 1984. We were not even notified of the preliminary hearing.
Families on murder victims gathered today to show their opposition to Proposition 9. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to a special half-hour edition of Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 30th. I'm Lata Pandya. It was a historic day in downtown Los Angeles today, as Governor Schwarzenegger was joined by four former governors to urge voters to vote no on Proposition 5. Julian Spencer reports.
Prop 5 would keep nonviolent first- and second-time drug felons out of the prison system and into drug rehab centers. Governor Schwarzenegger and former governors Pete Wilson, George Dukmejian, Jerry Brown, and Greg Davis presented a bipartisan front today against Proposition 5. Governor Schwarzenegger argued the measure is dangerous for public safety and would put criminals back on the streets.
It was written by those who care more about the rights of criminals, more about the rights of drug dealers, than the fundamental rights of our citizens.
While the governor spoke, the man heading the Yes on 5 campaign was in the back of the room, telling reporters about the need for more drug rehabilitation programs. Dave Fratello says it would help young people and relieve prison overcrowding.
The reality is, if we let them go into jail and prison, they do get worse, and they do become criminals, and they end up costing us a lot of money. The smarter move is to intervene early, spend money on treatment, and get these people to a place where they're over their addiction and they can be productive members of society again.
In 2000, California voters approved Prop 36, which also provided treatment instead of jail for nonviolent drug offenders. Julianne Spencer, Annenberg Radio News.
LA County officials say thousands of local voters may not receive their mail-in ballots in time to vote in Tuesday's election. Clerks are racing to process more than 13,000 last-minute vote-by-mail applications. The county registrar's office is also handling 55,000 remaining voter registrations. Officials say voters should not mail in ballots after tomorrow. They should hand deliver their ballots to the registrar's Norwalk office or drop them off on election day at any polling place in the county. A registrar official says an unprecedented 90,000 voters have applied to vote by mail in this election. There are only 5 days left until one of the biggest presidential elections in history. The whole world is waiting to see who will replace George W. Bush in the White House. We spoke to people from Thailand to Denmark to see what they're watching out for on Tuesday. Listen for their comments throughout the broadcast.
Hi, I'm Melksi Barakan from Johannesburg, South Africa. Despite all of our local ructions and international financial changes, there's still time for the U.S. election in our news, which I think indicates that South African people are really interested in what is going to happen with this election. People are waiting with bated breath to see whether there will be change in government in the United States and then hopefully a change in the international relations and policies as well.
Voter fraud, whether intentional or technological, has been a hot topic throughout the country. But as Kevin Patra reports, the troubles in California could just come from long lines at the voting booth.
Voter turnout nationally has been under 55% since 1972. But enthusiasm about this year's presidential race has some expecting a dramatic increase. Bob Stern is the president of the California Center for Government Studies. He says California voters are expected to face extremely long lines on Election Day.
Voting officials are just not used to that. So it's not going to be fraud so much as it's going to be overwhelmed election officials who are having a tough time dealing with the massive turnout that we're seeing.
The only voting precinct open for early voting in L.A. County is the L.A. County Register's office in Norwalk. So most voters will have to show up at their polling place on Election Day. Kevin Zies, president of TrueVote.us, says long lines can play a crucial role, especially in swing state votes.
In Ohio, 2004, John Kerry lost by 9 votes per precinct. So you can imagine just by having a long line of 4, 6, 12 hours, that could be enough to dissuade 9 voters per precinct and get the result changed.
Only 47% of eligible Californians turned out to vote in 2004. And unfortunately for voters, officials might not be prepared to handle this year's large increase. Kevin Patra, Annenberg Radio News.
My name is Paula Schmidt. I live in Santiago, Chile. Definitely the United States is a very important country because not only do we have bilateral commercial relations, your market is definitely the most important market for us, the biggest one that we have our exports go through. So if you guys are doing well, we're doing well.
And in weather, it's going to start feeling a little more like fall these days, with lows tonight in the 60s and highs in the mid-70s for the Halloween weekend. Later on Annenberg Radio News, as the election gets closer, the race for LA County Supervisor is heating up. We spoke to Bernard Parks on Tuesday, and today we'll have an in-depth interview with Mark Ridley Thomas to get his perspective on the issues. Californians might get cash incentive to buy cleaner cars, Yosef Al-Haddad reports.
That's the sound most of us hear when we turn on our cars. But supporters of Prop 10 hope that sound will become a thing of the past. Prop 10 would give cash rewards to people buying quieter and cleaner alternative-fueled cars. But some say the biggest cash breaks would go to the least fuel-efficient cars.
Some of these vehicle rebates are beneficial, but they do give an unfair advantage to natural gas vehicles. Our concern is that they're proposing this bill as a way to promote natural gas vehicles rather than using the bill to benefit the environment.
That was Spencer Kwong from the Union of Concerned Scientists. He thinks natural gas cars would be receiving way more cash incentives than they should. John Dunlap, a former chairman of the California Air Resources Board, disagrees.
So I've heard criticism where they say it's only natural gas, that somehow T. Boone Pickens is going to be the only one that benefits. That's absurd. That's not true.
T. Boone Pickens? Pickens is a Texas billionaire who has paid for most of Prop 10's campaign. He owns a natural gas company, and opponents of Prop 10 say Pickens is looking to make profit by persuading consumers to buy natural gas cars. But Dunlap says Pickens is mainly concerned with our nation's energy independence.
He believes that, for example, natural gas, which is plentiful, has plentiful domestic supply, that we ought to find a way to use that natural gas that's created in our country.
Kwong says natural gas isn't all bad.
And natural gas vehicles certainly help on the smog side.
The problem for him is the proposition seems to favor natural gas cars over others.
There are other vehicles that provide greater benefits but get less rebates. So, for example, a natural gas vehicle, a buyer of a natural gas vehicle would receive a $10,000 rebate, while a buyer of a Toyota Prius would only receive a $2,000 rebate.
The proposition isn't all about cars. It also uses a good chunk of the $5 billion to provide cash rebates to people who invest in other renewable energies, like wind and solar. Dunlap says these cash incentives are needed to jumpstart our use of alternative energy.
It's a necessary step, and the time is right. I know the cost. Some people have lamented the cost of the measure, but I don't think it's something that we can afford not to do.
With interest, repaying the bond would cost taxpayers $10 billion over the next 30 years. Yosef Al-Haddad, Annenberg Radio News.
City Measure A would raise property taxes by $36 a year. The money would go to fund gang intervention programs across the city. Los Angeles is home to roughly 40,000 gang members. Harmony Appel takes a look at whether raising taxes will help.
Luis Perez walks with authority. In the office where he works, people go to him for advice. People might never know he's been in and out of jail since he was 12.
I was a member of a gang in East Los Angeles called Ford Maravilla. I'm 28 years old and about 16 years out of my life been incarcerated.
5 years ago, his best friend was shot and killed in a gang fight. He decided he wanted more out of life and turned to Gang Boy Industries near downtown L.A. to get it.
I was just looking for a way out. finally realized that the life I was living wasn't the one for me and stuff.
They gave him a job. 5 years later, he's a senior navigator, helping other former gang members to start a new life.
You know, honestly, if I wouldn't be here right now, I would be dead or be serving life in prison, because I hated everybody because it reminded me, it showed me who I really was.
There are dozens of gang intervention programs in the city, and Homeboy Industries is the largest. They provide resources like jobs, counseling, tattoo removal, and even housing. They rely on private donors for most of their funding, but Assistant Director Veronica Vargas says they just don't have enough money to help everyone.
We have a housing department that is struggling to find homes for somebody that has recently been released and has no money to pay first, last month, and security deposit.
Measure A could be the solution. It proposes a $36 increase on property taxes to raise money for gang intervention programs. Councilwoman Janice Hahn wrote the measure.
We finally have to make a decision as a city that we're going to spend money on prevention. If we can't keep these kids from joining gangs in the first place, then we're never going to arrest our way out of this problem.
If Measure A passes, the city expects to raise $30 million a year for gang intervention services. Walter Moore is an attorney and is campaigning for mayor of Los Angeles.
These gang programs are not monitored. It's a giant scam. If you want to fight crime, if you want to get crime down in this city, use that money to hire more police.
In the South Los Angeles neighborhood of Crenshaw, local homeowners have mixed feelings about whether raising their property taxes would help to fight gangs.
Well, I think it's a good thing.
That's a waste of money. We've been paying too much taxes, and they should find something more profitable to do.
Perez knows firsthand what programs like Homeboy Industries can do for a life.
You know, I work with guys that at one time we were rivals, and I shot at them, and they know me from before, and now I'm able to embrace them and shake their hand and be like, what's up, man? How can I help you?
For Vargas, the $36 tax would be worth it.
We need to address the issue, and by ignoring or incarcerating this population, that's costing taxpayers a lot more money than $36.
Low-income and senior homeowners would be exempt from the tax. The city currently has a $168 million budget for anti-gang programs. Harmony April, Annenberg Radio News.
My name is Helen Sissons, and I'm a senior lecturer at the Auckland University of Technology in New Zealand. The election that's going on in the United States will affect everybody. It's the world's superpower. Decisions that it makes affect everybody in the end. What happens economically in America has a huge knock-on effect on all other economies.
My name is Jacob, and I'm from Denmark. Well, I think it's going to have a huge impact on, for example, security in the world. And as we can see now, the economy is also kind of dependent, because we're really obsessed with this election. It's going to mean the world for us.
In the county supervisors' race, the candidates are making a final push to get their messages to voters. Concern among voters over the future of MLK Harbor Medical Center is a common topic throughout the 2nd District. Matthew Richmond looks at the issue and the candidates' plans for the hospital.
The County Board of Supervisors voted to close MLK Harbor Hospital, formerly known as MLK Drew, in 2007. The vote came after years of poor performance. Dr. Jaime Regalado is director of the Pat Brown Institute of Public Affairs at Cal State LA. He says the closure had a profound impact on the community.
The political importance of the hospital was that it was felt by the African American community as a hard-fought result of the civil rights movement locally.
In April of 2008, the county found itself out of options for reopening the hospital. Yvonne Burke, the departing District 2 supervisor, told the Los Angeles Times she didn't think there was anything that could be done. But that's not what voters want to hear. Edgar Casillas is a doctor at UCLA Harbor Hospital and an undecided voter. His biggest concern is health care in the county, and he wants to see MLK Harbor reopened.
As of right now, it just seems that they just decided to close it. And what's the next step? And I haven't seen the next step yet.
Both Councilman Bernard Parks and State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas are trying to reassure voters they see a way to open the hospital. Parks presented his plan to a small group of voters at an appearance in Hawthorne last weekend.
The first thing we need to open it up is the community to continually to show their displeasure that it's closed. The board then are forced to sit down seriously with the UC system and create a plan that's workable for the both of them so that we can get moving on it.
The Board of Supervisors sent a proposal to the University of California in June, and the university has yet to commit to running the hospital. Ridley Thomas told Annenberg Radio News he would see to it that considerable progress is made early in the new year.
I believe that there is time, it is high time for a public-private partnership with respect to the Martin Luther King Medical Center.
Whoever wins on Tuesday will have a big challenge in getting the hospital reopened, and residents of South Los Angeles aren't likely to forget campaign promises on this issue. Matthew Richmond for Annenberg Radio News.
MLK Hospital is not the only topic of discussion in the supervisor's race. Mark Ridley Thomas joined us in studio to talk about some of the other issues that are paramount to this year's campaign. Ridley Thomas is a Democratic state senator and a former Los Angeles City Council member. What can local government do to ease some of the pressures brought upon the community regarding homeownership and lending?
For nearly 20 years, I've worked on the issue of predatory lending, precisely a concern of the subprime market where people were steered to and given or sold bad loans only to find themselves in serious debt and out of a home in many instances. I'm pleased that I have been able to recently have signed into law SB 870, which would effectively throw a lifeline to those who are suffering owing to foreclosures. This would put $1.1 billion on the streets of the state of California and a large portion in the county of Los Angeles to help people get out of bad loans into better loans.
Some of your ideas for social services and healthcare and education and reform, where does the money come for this?
There's a lot of money in the budget. It's just that there is a point in time where the economy is so badly beaten up until the deficits are much more substantial than would be considered tenable. And to the extent that that is the case, we have to revisit how you balance the budget. The county of Los Angeles happens to be in better shape than other governing entities, better than municipalities, better than the state. But that's just for this budget year. It can't sustain itself in the manner that it is currently. So either you cut services, you increase revenues, or you borrow. Those are the three principal ways that you balance a budget. And my point is simply that we probably should do a little of all three.
Some critics have suggested you've received quite a bit of support from union and labor, the labor community, and that you're, quote, in their pockets. What do you have to say about something like that?
If you are referring to my opponent in this race, be mindful of the fact that he sought these endorsements and didn't get them. And as soon as he learned that I was the candidate endorsed by the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, which, after all, represents teachers, firefighters, nurses, healthcare workers, engineers, probation officers, the whole range of approximately 100,000 working men and women in the county of Los Angeles. As soon as he learned that, he began to bash these workers. And so, no, I'm not in the pocket of anyone. I'm Mark Ridley Thomas, with a full-blown record of achievement and accomplishment for some 17 years, which would effectively be three times the length of time that Bernard Parks has been an elected official. And from that point, I take the position that I am proud to have the support of these men and women and the organizations they are a part of. Seems to me it's a cheap shot to keep pounding on hardworking men and women, and I appeal to my opponent to stop it. It's unbecoming, it's unnecessary, it's unwarranted, and it will get him nowhere.
Senator Mark Ridley Thomas, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
You can hear an extended version of my interview with Mark Ridley Thomas and his views on healthcare, transportation, and gang violence. Or to hear what his opponent, Councilman Bernard Parks, had to say on the issues, click on AnnenbergRadioNews.org. caravan of activists drove to San Diego today to join one woman's fight to save her home. Connie Kuo reports.
A small group gathered downtown to drive to San Diego and help June Reno. Reno used to be a homeowner. For 19 years, she lived with her husband in her Mira Mesa house. That is, until it was foreclosed recently when she couldn't make the payments. She said in a video taken by KFMB San Diego that even though the bank changed the locks on her house, she's not leaving and has chained herself to the porch to prevent eviction.
We are not just going to turn our keys over, not without a fight, and I am not going to walk away from this home quietly.
Reno took out an adjustable rate mortgage to pay for her home. That means her interest rate was expected to go up. And it did. Her mortgage went from about $4,000 a month to $5,800. She says her bank has refused to allow her to buy the home back, even though she found a lender for the mortgage. John Parker is the head of the Labor Community Coalition to Stop Foreclosures and Evictions. He organized the caravan to put pressure on the bank.
When the people take to the streets or support their neighbors, making it very hard for these banks to steal people's homes in the night. And it's so ironic because they're already stealing our tax dollars. The banks are getting bailed out. This is the way they reward the people who are bailing them out by stealing their homes.
The U.S. Treasury Department is still in negotiations on a plan to help up to 3 million homeowners in danger of foreclosure. But the number of foreclosures is still on the rise. Parker and Reno hope the protests will spread awareness about home foreclosures across the nation. Reno plans to stay chained to the house until an agreement is worked out. Connie Kuo, Annenberg, Radio News.
Proposition 6 promises to reduce crime and make schools and neighborhoods safer. But it's causing quite a stir. Beth Palkovic explains why people disagree over the Safe Neighborhood Act.
Former gang member Hector Verdugo knows what it's like to live in an unsafe neighborhood.
And got involved in gangs, drugs, criminal activity that carried for a while from juvenile hall into prison.
Until he realized,
I need help.
He now works at Homeboy Industries. It's an organization that provides jobs and education to former gang members like Verdugo. It was here where opponents of Proposition 6 spoke this morning, urging people to vote no. That's because part of Proposition 6 would increase prison time for young offenders. Dr. Curran Wharf is a pediatrician at Children's Hospital Los Angeles. He says kids should not be held as accountable as adults are.
Because they are not neurologically capable of making the same kind of judgments, assessments, and decisions.
He says adolescents are more vulnerable to peer pressure, becoming overwhelmed with emotion, and that this has to do with the development of the brain. Mike Reynolds, the co-author of Proposition 6, says that kids who get involved with gangs are often forced to commit crimes that older gang members will not do.
Unfortunately, some of the most violent crimes we see in society are committed by young people. And I would like to think that they're misguided. There's a chance that they could be rehabilitated, on and so forth. But there also has to be a level of responsibility for these crimes. And they do big boy crimes, they have to know that they're going to be facing big boy times.
Reynolds says these kids would be housed separate from adult offenders. And he says the proposition includes ways to save money, like turning old buildings into jails instead of building new ones from scratch. But even with these savings, the proposition is expected to cost nearly $1 billion. Beth Palkovic, Annenberg, Radio News.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection introduced an alternative to speed up long airport lines for international travelers. Pete Griffin reports.
Today at LAX, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection provided a demonstration of the kiosk that will be used through the Global Entry Trusted Traveler Program. The program allows approved U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents returning to the U.S. to use the ATM-like machine as an alternative to the regular passport lines. Customs and Border Port Director Carlos Marte.
They avoid the lines that you see there, and they avoid all the routine questioning that occurs in the primary lane.
Users of the program insert their U.S. passport or resident card into the machine's document reader. Travelers are prompted to provide digital fingerprints that are compared to the biometric data on file. After answering a set of questions on the kiosk touchscreen, the machine gives a receipt to the traveler.
You're done. Okay. Your receipt.
That's your receipt.
Who then presents it to the officer before leaving the inspection area. In order to use this program, international travelers must be classified as low risk. Officer Amani Hana attempted to give a definition of what's low risk.
As long as they met as long as their background checks are good, no criminal offenses in their background checks are minimal, and they have never been cited by Customs and Border Protection, they are presumed to be a low-risk traveler.
The Global Entry Program is in its pilot stages, but with an unclear message of who is eligible to use this privilege, travelers might find the program to be more of a hassle than of a convenience. Pete Griffin, Annenberg, Radio News.
My name is Arun Sakara. I live in Bangkok, Thailand. Thai people, they are interested in, they're watching this election, the outcome of it. And I think that many Thais, they don't agree with this war going on in Iraq. And I think they would love to see another presidential candidate.
Supporters of Proposition 9 are holding rallies today at murder scenes around the city. Families of murder victims are telling their stories of not being notified of trials and not being alerted when criminals are released from prison. Lee Bertha Pickett's son Ernest was killed at Dorsey High School in 1984.
At the time my son was murdered, we were not even notified of the preliminary hearing. They held a preliminary hearing, therefore the people that was at the preliminary hearing who may have wanted to speak in our behalf did not. They felt like either we didn't care enough as a family or we were afraid. And it was neither one of those.
Reporter Richie Deshawn has been following supporters of Proposition 9. He's on the scene at Dorsey High School and he's on the line right now. Richie, can you hear me?
I can, Lata.
Great. So just go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's going on today.
Well, I'm here at Dorsey High School where Lee Bertha Pickett is speaking right now about her son, Ernest. He was murdered here back in 1984. And other murder victims' families are here speaking in support of Proposition 9. Now, opponents of Proposition 9 say this victim's Bill of Rights would be redundant. They say voters passed a Bill of Rights for victims in 1982, and they say that's enough. But supporters of Prop 9 are saying today that those rights are statutory. That means that they were passed by legislative bodies, and that means judges and prosecutors don't often have to follow those rules for notifying victims about trial proceedings. So supporters of Prop 9 are saying today that those rights need to be in the state constitution, and that's what Prop 9 would do.
Richie, thanks so much for joining us from the field. We really appreciate it.
You bet, Lata.
Now we check in with Matt Schrader to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Matt, what's going on?
Well, thanks, Lade. Coming up tonight at Annenberg TV News, Laguna Beach is not so scenic today after a 500,000 gallons of sewage spilled onto the beach and into the ocean. We'll have how officials plan to clean up the mess. And think USC is an expensive place for college? Well, tuition is going up again. But how much? What's the 5% increase mean to students? Plus, it's one of the more overlooked propositions in this year's election, a high-speed rail in California. But is traveling between Los Angeles and San Francisco worth the $10 billion investment? Well, tune in to Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 on Trojan Vision.
Matt, thanks so much for that. Well, that's all the time we have today for Thursday. We had help from Leslie Strauss, Deidre Crawford, David Sobriage, and Kim Daniels. Caitlin Fornaro is our producer. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Lata Pandya.